Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And we just need to thank Nick. She does such a great job with leading our Alpha team. Can we thank Nick for doing all that? Well done. Great work. And if you're in church today and you hear that and you hear, well, Alpha would be something that I really want to do. I'm on that journey of faith myself, and Alpha sounds great. Alpha is great, and you can do that next year, but you do not need to wait to begin your relationship with God. You do not need to wait when it comes to growth in your walk with Him. And the reality is that each one of us sitting here in church, whether you're at the beginning of that journey, whether you're sussing it out, or whether you feel like you are as close to God that you've ever been in your life, we are all on this journey together. And on the sideboards, this is our theme for the year, on our pursuit of Jesus. We are all on the journey of faith. And so I don't want you to feel for one second as you come into here that you are apart from everyone else that you see here, where you think, man, they've got their life together. Whether you feel like you've walked away from God for a little while and you're making your way back, we are all in this together. So do not for one second think that that you do not have a next step to take. We all indeed do, and that area of growth. It is so great to be in church today. I'm so looking forward to this today. Let me do what Pastor Graham does and straighten up this pulpit. I didn't even think, Chris, that I didn't even realize I was doing that until I looked down at the floor. That's just what's come upon me. Anyway, for better or for worse. I can't go any further without welcoming Marita. Marita Simpson is here from Amar. Yeah, let's welcome Marita. It's great to have you here with us. Marita is the director of the Amari Community Development Organization, Amari in Uganda, Africa, and it is our joy to have her here with us in church. And she is hopping and skipping and jumping to and from Melbourne and Uganda a little bit more often these days, and it's great to have her here with us. And you'll hear much more about Amari over the coming month. We're going to spend a few moments in each of our services talking about what Amari is. And Amari, basically speaking, is a school in Uganda, Africa that was started from Marita's vision out of this church. And we support them and we send work parties and we try and do that every year. COVID sort of put a pin in that for a few minutes. But now we are going back this year, and it is our joy to continue to serve them, to sponsor children over there, to see them grow in their education, but to see them encounter God, right? To see them encounter the presence of God, to know who Jesus is. We have a really great opportunity as a church to continue to support them. So Marita, it is great to have you here with us. Make sure you say hi to her if you see her around. Not all at once, right? Not all at once, but give her a big hug after the service. And Pastor Graham, an update on Pastor Graham. Chris is here today, but Pastor Graham is at home, watching at home. Big hello and welcome to you, Pastor Graham, and everyone else who's watching online today. It's great to have you here with us in church as well. And he is doing well. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers for him. He is recovering well, and he looks forward to being back in church as soon as possible. Next week, the week after, he's preaching the week after, so he better be in church the week after. So he is doing well. Let us in this moment right now just hit a bit of a reset button. The service has been great. Like, we've had a great time of worship. But God's got something to say to all of us today. So just hit the reset button in your minds. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the freedom that we enjoy right now to come into your presence. We thank you, it is because of your blood that we have sung about that that is even possible. And Lord, as we open up your word today, we don't want it to be that we just hear things with our ears. But Lord God, we want to open up our hearts for Holy Spirit, for you to do the work that you want to do in us. Right now, I just want you to have that picture. Maybe just yourself, just opening your heart up. Maybe your heart, maybe you feel like it's been beaten. Over the past couple of months, past couple of years, maybe it just feels like it's a bit hard at the moment, a bit resistant. The Lord wants to speak truth into your life today. He wants you to know a touch of His presence. God wants to insert joy back into someone's life today by His truth that's spoken and by a fresh revelation of His love for you. And if that's you today, no matter how hard that heart is or whatever you think's going on, I encourage you to allow that to be opened up to what God wants to say to you today. Lord, we thank You that we can trust You. You are our firm foundation. And it is from that foundation we can build our lives and experience abundant life that Jesus, that You have come to give to us. So humbly we say, have Your way in us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Today we begin a brand new series that we've called The Spirit Realm. And we're going to be in this series for the next 4 weeks. And last year, God gave me the original inspiration for this series as I was considering what He wanted us to speak about this year. But it was only over the last couple of months that I felt that this was the time that we needed to share about this these messages in this series. And as we speak about it over the next 4 weeks, there are going to be some things that I will say today that will be repeated in week 2, week 3, week 4. You'll hear some things across the 4 different weeks. And I encourage you as we sit in it for this month that you see it as a bit of a marinating under the Word when we talk about this whole idea of the spirit realm. That you're like a piece of chicken or maybe a bit of tofu if that's what you're after. That we pour all this marinade and we put it in there and we put it in a bowl and we stick it in the fridge. And as it sits there, the longer it sits there, the more that it gets infused with the flavors that it's sitting there. And the more that we sit in this, we want to allow the Word of God to actually penetrate us more than just hearing it on the side, hearing on the outside, more than just skin deep. We want it to allow it to go into us. And so as we do that, I encourage you to, if you've got notes today, then great. If you don't, get something out so you can write some notes so that you can consider it as we go through it for the next 4 weeks. So, the spirit realm. What do you know about the spirit world? Is there another realm that exists beyond what we see here in the natural? And the answer, your answer to that question is going to be determined by a couple of things. It'll be determined by what you have learnt from either reading books or watching movies or seeing TV shows or what you've learnt by what someone else has told you. Or for some of you, it's going to be learnt by what you have experienced yourself personally. What is the spirit realm? And when there's such a broad education about something like this that doesn't really get spoken about directly very often, we can come and we can build off that foundation that is a bit shaky. But what we need to ask, the first thing that we need to ask is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the spirit realm? Let that be the firm foundation that we build all of our other thoughts off the top of. And that goes for anything else that we have in life as well. What does the Word say? Well, the Bible actually says a lot about the spirit realm. And the first thing I want us to write down on the top of our page is that, number one, the spirit realm is real. And you might say, yes, of course, Andy, of course. But it's really important that we understand that the spiritual world is real. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the fact that He is Son of God, the fact that He came to earth as a human being, if you believe all of this, that He lived a perfect life without sin, that He died on the cross, that He rose again, and that He is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, then you are accepting that the spirit realm is real as well. Acknowledgement of the Bible as the Word of God. Even if you just say, well, the Bible is a relatively accurate historical document, it is an acknowledgement of the existence of a world beyond that which we see. But even if you question all that, for most people, they will have experienced something in their lifetime to believe that there is more to life than merely what we see in the natural. The main point for most is not whether you believe in the spirit realm or not. It's how does the spirit realm impact the natural world that we live in today. And this is where what we see on film or we read in books can sometimes underplay or can belittle the impact of the spiritual on the natural. The spirit realm is an unseen realm. And I want to give you this picture to help perhaps explain that a little bit. As we sit here today, there is a big heater on the wall outside behind the cross, up on the wall back there. And what it does is it's sucking air in from the outside, it's heating it up, and it's shooting it through all of these vents in the ceiling. Have a look. You can see all the vents up there. I want you to actually look at those vents in the ceiling. See them. No doubt in your home you have some form of climate control as well. We turn on the control and then we look. And if you look at those right now, you would say there is nothing happening. I cannot see anything coming out of those vents. But that is not the case. If you look at, you can look at the vent all you want and you will not be able to discern whether there is air coming out of it or not. And even if we turn the fans right up so high so that you could feel the air blowing on you where you're sitting, you could still look at those vents and see that there is nothing happening at all. The spirit realm is similar in that it is unseen, but it has a very real effect on the natural world. Second thing is this, the spirit realm is unseen. And this is where faith comes in, the aspect of faith. It would be very easy with what we're about to hear to dismiss much of it for a lack of understanding. And over the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear some things that perhaps you had a few ideas about, perhaps some things that you didn't really know, but just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true and doesn't mean it's not real. I don't understand any of the way this works, so I'm not going to believe any of it, but that's not how we operate as Christians. Hebrews 11, 1-3 in the New Living Translation says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the old days earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase. It says it a little bit differently. It might help some of you understand it. It says this, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. To deny the existence of the spirit realm due to a lack of understanding is equivalent to sticking your head in the sand in the middle of the desert. Just because you can't see the sun anymore doesn't mean you're not going to get burnt. And the spirit realm is real. And we as Christians need not to just accept that, but we also need to know the power within that realm that impacts us in the natural, both for good and for evil. The spirit realm, I want you to write this down, the spirit realm is not just an alternate dimension completely unlinked from the physical. How we think, how we speak, how we act here on earth has an impact in the spirit realm. You can't run away from it, but you can understand it more and learn how the things that we do or say here on earth have an impact on our daily lives now and also ripples into eternity via the spirit realm. The spirit realm is an unseen realm where God and Satan, where angels and demons, where souls and spirits of those who died exist. And when you think about the spirit realm, it's not to be thought, and I want to make this clear. When we're thinking about it, we're going to talk about some potentially heavy stuff. We need not think about the spirit realm in a negative light. It's not all negative, okay? And sometimes we can think about it that way. The realm itself is not evil. And there's an amazing story in Daniel 10, and you can read it later if you'd like, where the Daniel prays and an angel is coming to meet him. And the angel explains that the angel was held back by this fight, this battle that was happening in the spirit realm between the angels and the demons. Perhaps the picture I've been using and as I'm writing this week and considering it is this, that there are physical trees, because the outworking on us, physical trees can have spiritual roots. the way that we think, talk, act, and the way that we worship, has a much more significant impact in the spirit realm than what many people would realize, both for good and for evil. And perhaps one of the greatest tools that the devil has used in today's age is to normalize evil, is to make evil look good. And there's a warning here from the prophet Isaiah on Isaiah 5:20. He says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good, that good is evil. That dark is light, that light is dark. That bitter is sweet, and that sweet is bitter." And mainstream media today, and it's probably built over many, many years, decades, centuries, has painted evil to be as normal as eating a bowl of cereal. That's the way I thought of that. Evil is as normal as eating a bowl of cereal in the morning. It's just something you do. And many people are consuming anything and everything without thinking about what they're inviting into their lives through that content. A biblical definition of evil is essentially anything that contradicts the holy nature of God. It can be sin committed against others, murder, theft, adultery. It can be sin committed against God, unbelief, idolatry, blasphemy. All of which is not only accepted in society in today's day and age, but is increasingly being celebrated. A big one for living outside of God's design right now is in the area of sexuality. And this is not a statement that's lacking grace for people who are going through serious periods of confusion and questioning regarding their sexuality. I have much grace for our young people who are being bombarded with this at this time. And we need to maintain that grace as Christians for those who are going through that. But at the end of the day, a sin is a sin. And it's not our opinion, but it's God's design. And anything outside of God's design for one man or one woman to be married before God, and I think that's the thing that we lose sometimes. And whenever Cass and I are doing marriage counseling with young couples, I want to make sure that you know that when you are getting married, you're not getting married before me and before witnesses. First of all, you are getting married before God. And then waiting until that point to be in a sexual relationship with each other. Anything outside of God's design is sin. And as a Christian, to speak that, more often than not, you will be met with hostility. How dare you be so unloving? You don't care for others. But nothing could be further from the truth. For we know that true fulfillment is found in living in obedience to the word of God. His design for us is the best way of living. There is a spiritual battle being fought around the idea of sexuality at the moment. And Satan would love nothing more than for you to walk away from God and never experience intimacy with him, that which you've been designed for. But it's not just that area. And we too easily sometimes put the issues of maybe mental or emotional breakdowns or chronic sickness or perpetual financial insufficiency that we find, breakdown of relationships that seems to follow us wherever we go, crippling doubt or anxiety, and we put that down sometimes to it's just life. It's just the period of time that we live in. It's just my poor management of finances. It's genetics. It's just what somebody else has done to me that makes me the way that I am. And we accept that without thinking once about what we're actually allowing into our lives that has an impact from a spiritual sense. Or the fact that what we're experiencing is potentially a physical tree with spiritual roots. How are we to respond? Look at what the word says about the last days. in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Paul writes this to Timothy. He said, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times." Why? What is it about the times that will be difficult? Is it the fact that what's coming is war that's going to make things very difficult for us? Is there going to be famine, which is going to lead to many people not being able to eat, and it's going to be really hard for us? Is it the fact that it's persecution maybe for the believer? Is that what's going to make it really difficult for us in the last days? Well, he goes on in verse 2. He says, "For people will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. In other words, times will be difficult because evil will be everywhere. But in this, God has given us the power to choose. Firstly, to choose who we're going to serve. To choose Christ. Jesus is Lord is the key. Without him as Lord and Savior, we have no power to even choose. Power to choose what? Choose life or choose death. The power to choose blessings or choose curses. The power to choose obedience or sin and disobedience. And we choose by the way that we decide to engage in the battle in the spirit realm. So, does the evil side impact my daily life? Now, I want to bring a bit of clarification or a bit of balance to what I've just been saying as well. Do we believe that there are demonic forces behind every corner and under every rock and every misfortune that we experience? No, not at all. Just because you don't get a good park at the shopping center doesn't mean that Satan has mobilized his demons to put cars in all of those parks, right? That's not what I'm saying. That's just life. Some of us play sport. I was interested to learn this week. And, you know, some people get injured in sport, right? You know what I think that is? It's just age, because you get more injured the older you get, right? How are you going, CB? Going good? That's right. Chris played till he's 50. I've already retired. So that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. But do you know which sport in Australia leads to the most serious injury and hospitalisation? Which sport for men? What do you reckon it is? Shout something out to me. It's not football, guys. Number one. What is number one? Cycling, Claudia. Cycling. The number one sport in Australia for men that causes the most injury. Yes. Do you know what number two is? Football. You're right. AFL, and number three is rugby. Now, for the women, what do you think the number one thing is for women? The most injured hospitalizations. What is it? You're never going to guess it. Equestrian. I know. Does anybody here do equestrian? Who's getting injured? I didn't know anyone did equestrian. Anyway. Claudia. I'm not going to repeat that, Claudia. Number two, yes, indeed, is netball. You would have guessed that. And number three is cycling. Interestingly enough, the number six on the list to the most significant injuries for women was recreational walking. I thought that was really interesting. So, Ladies, watch me, all right? Watch me. Oh. It's funny. I think it just means they're doing more walking than the men. Is that what it means? Yeah. Was that a bit of redemption for me, maybe? So, when it comes to cycling, does it mean that cycling is of the devil? I know there's some people nodding. Maybe exercise was the wrong. Does it mean exercise is the devil? Yes, no, no, it doesn't. Of course not. Just because you crash on your bike, it doesn't mean that, again, like a demon like had a stick and went and over you went. Like that's not what we're saying right now. Of course not. So, phew, does that mean demons aren't real? Of course not. They are absolutely real. Do they have an effect on our lives? You only need to read the Bible to hear of the ways that demons both possessed and affected people at that time. And it is no different today. And we're going to open that up in the coming weeks as well. So stay tuned. This is not about seeing absolutely everything that occurs as a result of spiritual intervention. But this is about being aware that there is a battle taking place in the spirit realm and that God has equipped every single one of us as believers in Him to fight that battle. And it's at this point I want to send you back 3 weeks' time to 3 weeks ago to see Pastor Graham's message. And you can look at that on our website. There is some great information there on the armor of God and what it is to put on that armor every single day that we put it on to be able to fight that battle, because the enemy wants your life. John 10:10, the thief comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we're going to look at a little bit, Nick's going to open up the character of the enemy next week in a little bit more detail. But it says, but I have come, Jesus, so that you may have what? Life. And life to the full. Life abundantly. That is the gift of Jesus to us, is life and life to the full. Anyone who is a Christian, a follower of Jesus, has entered the battlefield because there is that fight occurring for your life. And just like if you have a broken arm, you don't go to the supermarket to get it fixed, to gain victory in the spirit, we need to fight in the spirit. We must fight. We must fight for our families. We must fight for our communities. We must fight for the state of Victoria in the spirit realm. We must engage in a greater way when it comes to spiritual warfare. And we're going to talk about that again in the coming weeks. You know, at this point in time, in my preparation, I'd already finished the rest of the message. And then yesterday, I went and rewrote half of it. I was going to speak about a little bit about knowing our enemy, but Nick will dive into that next week. I was going to speak about the fact that we are made up of three parts of body, of soul, and of spirit. Therefore, we are inextricably linked to the spirit realm, every single one of us. I was going to speak about the fact that the natural realm we live in is temporal, whereas the spiritual is eternal. And because of that, there is always a hope for the believer. That when a diagnosis comes from the doctors that they say is terminal, or they say is doesn't give you much hope, there is a hope that we have because of the spirit that has been given to us in eternity. We have a hope in eternity. It means that for the days that you have left, whether they be long or whether they be short, that we can live with joy because our eyes are fixed on the future and not just the now. Watching a strong believer go through the worst pain that they can experience in their life is sometimes the greatest testimony that someone can hear. Me standing up here and saying, I love Jesus so much and He is Lord. And then looking at my life and going, man, but you've got a bunch of stuff that's sorted out. Holds a different weight than someone going, man, I've actually had a really rough life. And right now, it doesn't seem like anything is going right. But Jesus is still Lord in my life. And my hope is still in Him. And I have a hope in eternity as well. And what that says to someone is, man, like, there's something different. Because whether it goes right for you next or whether it goes wrong, you're still going to be all right. And that is the truth. And it is an amazing testimony. It is a wonderful thing to be able to share our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I want to encourage you to focus on the eternal, focus on the spiritual. Your prayers, your worship, your seeking God now, even in those situations, can make a difference in the lives of others for eternity. How incredible to think. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, it says, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, should have it up there, is it? No? Yep. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. We need to fight in the spiritual realm. We need to continue because it is eternal. It is what lasts. Fight for your kids. They might be walking away. They might be questioning things. Fight for them. Pray for them. But instead of all that, I felt God wanted to remind us of this as we close. And that too. That we fight not for victory, but we fight from victory. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to look, and maybe the worship team can come, and we're going to finish in song. Look at the power that was given by Jesus to the 72 that he sent out in his name. In Luke 10, verse 17 to 20. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." And the point of this passage is twofold. Though there are two realms at work here, the natural and the spiritual, Jesus has the authority in both. Though the enemy has much power here on earth, none of it is without God being sovereign over it all. Jesus over everything. And note, it's not the authority the disciples had in and of themselves. It is what is given by Christ. And number two, he is saying to the disciples here, the fact that evil spirits obey you right now is great, but that is nothing compared to the fact that your names are registered in heaven. And when you think about the spirit realm, I want you to remember, as a child of God's, you need not fear. You need not fear. But we must fight. Yeah, you guys can start playing. Like, you know what song we're going to sing? Great. Well, let's go. Let's go. We're going to finish with praise. Praising the one who has won it all. And I want you to remember, as we have opened up, you know, this series about the spirit realm, that Jesus is Lord, that he has the victory. It's what I want you to remember. We want to look at how that's worked out. All the questions that you might coming up in your head at the moment, we're going to answer a bunch of those over the coming weeks. But I want to finish with this. We've got three things, sorry. Read that scripture last. Today's Pentecost Sunday, the seventh Sunday after Easter, the day where the Spirit of God was poured out on the believers. The Holy Spirit filled the church. And for us today, Pentecost is the living reality of the moment that the Spirit of God burst forth. And you read it in Acts 2, like, go and have a look. Have a look at what it says. It's so exciting as you read it. Not only read it on the page, but imagine what it would have been like back then. And that move of the Spirit back then, it's the same Holy Spirit that we serve and has been a gift given to us by God. That Jesus said, "It's better that I go, that this Holy Spirit comes." And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to know exactly how to fight in each and every moment. He is the one with the wisdom. He is the one who has the power. He is the one who we rely on. And so he is the one that we celebrate today, Pentecost Sunday. If you want to begin fighting today, I want to give you three simple things. I'm going to say them a number of times. Go home. Get in the Word. Worship and pray. There's so much that we consume, that we allow to come into our lives in a negative sense, that just does not bring good things to us. Let us turn that around and replace it with worship of our mighty God, of getting in the Word, of allowing the truth of what God says over your lives to counteract any of the lies of the enemy. Even the lie to you, I go back to the start of the message, that someone here who needs joy reinserted into your life. The lie of the enemy that it's never going to get any better. It is a lie. Because Jesus has come so that you might experience life and life to the full. That is the truth for you. Know that. Read that. And the third thing is prayer. Let's continue to fight in that aspect of prayer, spiritual warfare. Get down, get on your knees at home. Spend some time with the Lord. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it takes. However long the Lord wants you to sit there in His presence, praying. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your mind to pray. If you don't know what to pray, just worship. Just worship. The Word, worship, and prayer. The Word, worship, and prayer. The Word, worship, and prayer. Let's continue to fight. So we're going to sing this song, My Testimony. I'm going to sing it like I'm going to be singing it with gusto. I hope you'll join me. Join with me after I'm finished up. The last thing, as we stand, can we stand? And then I'm going to read this passage from Ephesians 6. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it brings clarity. Father, we thank you that there's power in your word. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been given us to make that word come alive, that we might have revelation. Father, we thank you that no matter how dark the situation that we're in might feel, no matter how void of hope we believe that it is, there is always hope in you, Jesus. We thank you that you can do miracles. We thank you that light casts out darkness. We thank you that we need not fear this exploration into the spirit realm and what it is. Because Jesus, we know that you are Lord. You are Lord over it. You are Lord over the natural. You are Lord over everything. You are Lord over our lives. We give you thanks and praise this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. You've heard this many times. I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. It says a bit differently, makes us think a bit differently about it. It says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Next one. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be standing on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is in it. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential to this ongoing warfare. I'm going to say that again. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Come on, let's praise the Lord today.